from the Star Rental Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
2 o'clock headlines brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass. Kevin?
It's always 420 at Buddy's.
And you might be confused because it's actually just 2 o'clock right now.
Not when you walk in that door.
If you're in Renton right now or right on, it's 420 here there on Sunset. Let's see. Mariners tonight taking on Detroit. Second game of that series. 4:10 first pitch. Chris Flexen will take the mound for Seattle to try to bounce back from yesterday's loss. And every game they've played against Detroit this year, which has been a loss. Boy, Detroit, are they going to the World Series?
No, I don't think so, Ian. No, I don't.
Just have Seattle's number. Jared Kelnick, by the way, 0 for 1 last night. Did not get a hit for the Rangers. But did he have sacrifice fly in an RBI? Progress. Maybe steps along the way. NBA playoffs resume tonight with one game, Nuggets and Suns. Suns lead that series 1-0 last night. Kevin, who won the Philadelphia-Atlanta game?
That would be the 10-9-8 76ers, Ian.
You are correct, sir. They tie that series at 1-1. Jazz take a 1-0 lead after a win over the Clippers by 3 last night. Rudy Gobert with a shot block with about 3 seconds left to go. Remarkable finish, fun atmosphere, good game. Avalanche, as we told you, lost at home to the Vegas Golden Knights. They could clinch that series. Could Vegas coming up tomorrow? Islanders can clinch tonight. If they do so with a win over Boston in the NHL playoffs, they'll take on Tampa, which was a winner and a series winner last night over Carolina. More on that in a second. Name, image, and likeness. Congressional hearings taking place today. That's been a conversation we had in the first hour. Handful of states, namely Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, and of course New Mexico. On July 1st, athletes will have the ability in those 4 or 5 states to benefit and profit off of their name, image, and likeness, whether it be TikTok, Instagram, the YouTube channel, or whatever else their name, image, and likeness can generate revenue from. They will benefit from that. The rest of the country, the other 45 states, as of right now, no. Put up a little Twitter poll today. We don't have fun little things for our Twitter poll, like, you know, update on the poll.
I'm curious
like
to
that.
Hear what the scores are in the poll, though.
The poll question is as follows. As a fan of college athletics, what is your biggest concern or worry about the future of college football or college hoops? Is it the NIL laws? Sounds like it's Mark Few's biggest concern. Or two, is it the transfer portal? Losing good players year in and year out after you recruit? Again, as a fan, what's your biggest concern? Right now, 28.8% NIL laws, 71.2% transfer portal.
Well, it's interesting. Coaches are all going to publicly come out in support of the NIL stuff because then they're able to continue looking pro student athlete.
Yes, correct.
Coming out with problems with the transfer portal, not quite as pro student athlete as the other. But you know what's interesting? The juxtaposition here, did you get a chance to see that clip? I think he went on with Barstool Sports from Johnny Manziel.
I did not.
He went on, he did it, I don't know, with someone from Barstool.
Okay.
And talked about his experience in college of doing autographs for a ton of money. And he kind of walked through it, and there was this kind of shady, like, someone came up behind him and said, you know, you could be getting, like, $35,000, not $3,000 for doing a bunch of autographs, and I'll tell you where to go. Oh, yeah, okay. And he talks about how he went to this room and signed, like, a billion things, and he got all this money. Like, taking something out of the, like, black market, scary, like, underworld, and putting it out in the open is good for a lot of people. It doesn't need to be so cloak and dagger. As it has been.
Well, as Dennis Dodd wrote in his article, that's called the dark money that's flowing under the table. And you're right. Part of the other issue is, I'm sure, this is why I have a feeling the government wants to be involved. I'm guessing. The other quiet part of it is, well, if you generate income and are paid for something, the IRS wants a cut of that.
Yes, they do, Ian.
That's why a whole different can of worms comes into play. We'll talk to Jed at some point about this, our buddy Jed Collins, because at some point every school is going to have to hire somebody to oversee this because you're going to have to help these kids and they're going to have to understand that you have to pay taxes on this revenue at the end of the year too.
Sure. I'm also curious, along with helping them with that, what will the schools be allowed to do to facilitate these sorts of things?
Well,
because... You know that's going to be a, you know, we have an expert marketer who has contacts with all these different companies and they're interested.
Yeah, I don't think here's the thing. The school's not going to want to market the kids. because they don't want to lose out that revenue. If Kevin Shockey is a booster and he spends $5,000 a year in addition to his tickets on the University of Washington, you know, athletic department, but now I say I can attach my name as a company holder to, you know, quarterback A. Well, the school doesn't want that. They want the money for their own coffers.
Right. But
so there's a huge contradiction here and a huge conflict of interest here between the school and the individual athlete.
But if you want to keep getting those players.
Right, absolutely.
So it's going to be fascinating to watch it.
The only thing is that that's probably a different pool of money along the way.
Probably.
Like, you know, an influencer is not maybe necessarily generating money, or the money for the influencer isn't necessarily going to be going into, you know, Night with Cougar football or the Tyee Club.
Boeing isn't supporting YouTubers.
I think you are correct. So. Do you want to talk about the new franchise in town and who the head coach might be?
Well, that sounds like a good idea.
Let's do that.
Score! What a beautiful move! Deep backhand went back to the forehand. And welcome back, Connor.
It's time to drop the puck in Seattle. With the Kraken set to start later this year, Sports Radio 950 KJR has you covered with Ryan S. Clark from The Athletic. To you by Cascade Ice Water. Looking for a caffeine kick? Try a refreshing 16-ounce can of Cascade Ice sparkling water with 160 milligrams of organic caffeine.
Unbelievable effort from Sidney Crosby, and you can lock the doors and turn out the lights.
Now with Ryan S. Clark, here's Ian Furness.
Okay, you hear the open, and that means one thing. It's time for our weekly visit. Ryan S. Clark from The Athletic. He joins us courtesy of Cascade Ice, Cascade Ice Water, caffeinated, non-caffeinated, all gluten-free, all sugar-free, and calorie-free as well. Great tasting Cascade Ice Water. Find it in all the different flavors in your local grocery store. Ryan Clark from The Athletic with me. How are you, sir?
Good, Ian. How are you doing?
I'm very good. I'm very, very good. There's a lot of things I want to get to today, and maybe we'll Let's work from back forward or forward back. I'm not sure which one that would be. I'm going to start from last night, and then we'll get to the lottery, which was a week ago today, in just a second. But I had a guy tweet me today, and I'll just go right down this road with you because I said I'm going to address this with Ryan this afternoon. So here we go. How many phone calls do you think have been made between Ron Francis and the Carolina zip code that would be Raleigh? Rod Brind'Amour, update us on his coaching contract situation with Carolina, who was eliminated last night.
Sure. So the thought going around, our Sarah Sivian was able to report this before the playoffs started, that Rod Brind'Amour and the Carolina Hurricanes were close on getting a new contract done after she spoke with Don Waddell, the Hurricanes GM. Last night on Sportsnet, Elliot Friedman, for those people who were able to watch the Canadian feed on CBC, he was able to get into this conversation a little bit more and saying that it sounds like a deal is getting close. The hang-up was just making sure that Brind'Amour's assistants were going to get taken care of. And it looks like he's going to end up staying with the Carolina Hurricanes. And if that happens, it takes the most sought-after potential free agent coach off the board. And now all of a sudden, the Kraken are going to have another set of options. But they're going to have another set of options at the same time. The New York Rangers, Columbus Blue Jackets, are looking for a head coach. The Buffalo Sabres are in the interim position. Of course, the Arizona Coyotes looking for a head coach. And right now, the Montreal Canadiens have an interim head coach in Dominique Ducharme, but the way he's performing with that team, it leads you to believe that he is going to end up staying there. So that is the latest with Rod Brind'Amour as it relates to the Kraken.
Do you think that Brind'Amour would have been Francis's first target, or would there have been so much competition for him? You just mentioned the other teams, including the Rangers, who are looking at Rangers, an up-and-coming team, we think, talent-wise, which seems to be somewhat of a desirable position outside of James Dolan, the owner. But, I mean, with all this other competition, would Brind'Amour, do you think, been at the top of the list for Ron Francis?
I mean, potentially, because I think when you look at each of those openings, it's all about looking at, okay, what stands out about each. So there's a lead source I spoke with who said, when you look at the Kraken job, it's one of the best jobs already in the NHL because you're going to get a 3 to 4 year window. You have a great ownership group. You have ownership that's willing to spend money. You have a general manager who everybody talks about as being one of the best people you can deal with, who's also a really rational person in the sense of, hey, what's the window for how do you build a team? But also it's this growing thought that people keep saying too is, that first year is a little bit like playing with house money in terms of how you do things, because your fan base is just going to be happy that there is a team, not that they're going to go 0-82 and people are going to be happy with that. But there's the understanding that, like, okay, like this is a brand new thing. It's going to take time. So the job itself is going to be one that, whether it was Rod Brind'Amour or someone else, it's going to be competitive, because as you've seen with the Kraken, they're willing to spend money. Anyone that's willing to put $1 billion into an arena project, another $90 million into a training facility, on top of, you look at the caliber of hires they've made already, it appears they're going to be able to spend the money to get the best coach they feel they can get at this moment.
All right, so Ryan Clark joining us from The Athletic. Our weekly visit brought to you by Cascade Ice, Cascade Ice Water. In the coaching world, Gerard Gallant, of course, the original coach of the Las Vegas Golden Knights, let go, but that first year led him to the Stanley Cup final. His name has obviously been linked to Seattle since the start for obvious reasons. They haven't hired him. You know, I mean, they could have any time in the last little while. He's still a free agent coach. He goes over and with – now, listen, I think everyone, if we looked at all the rosters for the teams of the World Championships, nobody was World Championship caliber, so to speak, even, you know, by today's standards when those World Championships are always taking place during the NHL playoffs. But it was a watered-down version. Still, he went over and took a Canadian team that lost its first three games and took them all the way through and won the gold medal. Really impressive coaching job, and people have always thought that he does more with less than a lot of coaches do. The Rangers, I think, are still going to talk to him, or at least he sounds like that's there. Is there any chance, do you hear any buzz about Gallant in Seattle right now?
That's just the thing, is he interviewed more than a year ago, and it seems like since then it's kind of been quiet. And like, this is the really intriguing part. On one hand, you could argue, well, the fact they haven't talked in a year, maybe that says it all. But the fact that the Kraken are an organization known for playing the long game, and now they're in a position to make a hire, maybe they circle back with someone like Gallant. So there is another leaked source that I spoke with for a story that we have coming out pretty soon, just about everything going on with the coaching search. And the point this person made was, the Kraken have time. Because if you're talking about the draft, the only thing you really need a coach for at this point is to have someone who can shake people's hands. You have time to figure out who you want and who you want to go get. Now, of course, you're looking at an environment in which, like we said, there are other teams looking for potential options. So again, the candidate pool could narrow down. But at the same time, if you're the Kraken, you've always used time on your side. And maybe that's something they're doing with Gerard Gallant. Maybe they're not.
Brian, in your opinion, when you look at the coaching jobs around the league, you just said Seattle's one of the most desirable ones. Seattle 1-2 with New York. Where would you put it? I mean, Columbus has some issues with the market, you know, trying to keep top players to stay there. Arizona has the obvious issues that Arizona has had since day one, since moving there. Where would you put Seattle 1-2 in terms of desirable places to go to coach right now?
I mean, it's hard to say, honestly, just because, again, when you look at what you keep hearing with people around the league, people around the league keep saying, look, Seattle is going to be a really interesting place because it's a great city, all the other factors we just mentioned, right, on top of the fact that, like, again, there is a realistic approach. Whereas if you go to some of those other markets, like the Rangers got rid of David Quinn because they feel like they can win now. You look at the Buffalo Sabres, it's a team that has gone through rebuild after rebuild, and maybe Don Granato is the person who you look at and says, okay, maybe they have the best chance of taking this thing forward. With Columbus, it's what you said. It's the fact that it's a place that you think about every year leading up to this season. When they're in the playoffs, they make noise. They eliminate the Maple Leafs. They eliminated the Lightning. But they can't keep star players there, and we've just seen that consistently go. On top of the fact that, like, it looks like Seth Jones is going to be leaving Columbus at some point, you know, in the near future. Whereas if you look at the Coyotes, they're under new ownership. And yes, it's an organization that's also had its problems. But it's also a roster that right now, when you look at it, you don't really know the true direction of where it's going to go. Whereas if you look at the Kraken, it's a fresh start. It's a chance to do something new. And not only that, but when you look at what they could do in the expansion draft and or free agency, if they play it right, they could really be able to make some headway in terms of being able to recruit top free agents based off of, again, what their salary cap situation looks like after the expansion draft.
Ryan S. Clark from The Athletic, brought to you by Cascade Ice. Cascade Ice Water, find it in your local grocery stores. The draft lottery takes place a week ago today. Seattle moves up. They're the only team that moves up, by the way. They move up to that number two spot. And so the number two over pick. This is from Thomas Drantz from The Athletic.
Never heard of him.
He says, because the first thing I thought of, and I think this is one of the things that we need to, you know, as we're kind of navigating our way through the waters of the NHL draft, how the NHL works, free agency, compared to what we're used to with NBA, NHL, or NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NFL. Let me read this. It's very rare from Thomas. It's very rare that any NHL team trades down from a top 15 draft slot. It's happened only 11 times since 2006. Now, here's where it gets even more interesting for Seattle. It's even rarer still that teams trade down using a pick that's in the top 10. Salary cap era, only three trades have been executed. There were examples of a team trading down from a top 10 pick in order to acquire multiple picks. In fact, we haven't seen a team trade out of the top 10 since 2008 in the NHL. Based on that, Seattle's going to use that number two pick. Or is Seattle, because of everything, are they so outside the box? Are they the team that does go outside the box in a year in which there is no definitive one, two, and three, although Owen Power seems to be easing into that number one spot? Is this the year to maybe go outside of the box?
Ron Francis was asked about that a week ago, and he said basically they're not going to look at all their options, so maybe if there's something that's really alluring to them, they would do it. But it sounds like they would be interested in keeping the pick unless they received something that was just such a no-brainer. It's like, yes, go ahead and do it. And that's for what that would be. I mean, who knows? Some people say, well, what if the Buffalo Sabres came and said, we will give you Jack Eichel? Then, yeah, maybe sure. You probably go ahead and make that trade because it's Jack Eichel. And it gives you an instant superstar at a brand new market that's just coming to the league. As for the pick itself, if you're the Kraken, I mean, the goal, of course, is you want to take the best available player. But when I spoke with Ron Francis last week in a story about what's going on, you know, with their AHL team and their farm system, it goes back to something he said, which is, you know, look, we can only have so many prospects because they're going to be in a joint agreement with another NHL team without their AHL affiliate. So he's like, you know, we're going to have seven draft picks, and maybe six of them are playing somewhere else, like in junior college. And maybe one of them, depending on what happens with number two pick, could be playing in the NHL. So the fact that there is already that sort of thought process, it kind of leads you to believe that, again, it would take something substantial for Ron Francis and the Kraken to move away from the number two pick. Because when you look at how valuable number two picks can be, Jack Eichel is an example of a number two pick. And another example of a number two pick is Victor Hedman. So, again, there is value in having the number two pick.
Victor Hedman, one of the three finalists for the Norris Trophy, announced today he's FS for the best defenseman in the NHL. I agree with you. I think the difference would be, and this is where Seattle's different, because we went through this last week. The number two overall pick has played in the NHL, you know, at least some games. His draft year, every year since 2012. 2012 was Ryan Murray. They had a lockout, and then he got hurt when he went back to junior in Everett, so he kind of doesn't count. You have to go back to 08, I think it was, with James Van Riemsdyk, who went back to junior for 2 years. Guys that are picked number two do usually, you see them in the NHL. But here's what I would say might be a little different this year because of what you just said. Because you don't have to stock your farm team immediately and you only have those 12 spots, if you see a guy that's younger that you really think you can get later, and on top of that, you have that expansion draft to play with the 2 days before, which is different than any other year we're talking about with these guys not making trades, he can get creative. I think it's going to be fascinating to see what he sees, because who knows? We don't know what his scouts are thinking, right? Who the number two guy is. Maybe the number two guy is in their crosshairs and say, that's an impact guy right away. It makes it fun. I think moving up to number two was one of the best case. Obviously, number one would be, but number two makes it a really fun scenario for Seattle.
Well, it does, especially when, like, you think about what Robert Krohn, who is the head of amateur scouting, said about certain prospects. And, like, he was extremely detailed about all of them, but the two players he talked about the most, one, of course, was Owen Power, which, like you said at the beginning of this segment, if there's not really a real consensus number one, but if there was, it would be Owen Power for a whole variety of reasons. And then the second one is Matthew Veneers, the center at the University of Michigan, who everybody raved about in terms of his work ethic, his two-way ability, the fact that he is someone that has a lot of upside offensively as well as defensively as well. He's got size with the fact he's 6'1", 6'2". And so, like, when you look at that, like, those are different directions that they can go. Or maybe they go with a score like Dylan Gunther, who our Corey Pronman felt was the number one prospect available. Or maybe they go with Luke Hughes, who at one point in time our Corey Pronman had as number one prospect available. So, like, that's just it. It's like, to see what they do, it's like they're going to get someone, but for them, it could just be about determining who do we think is not only the best player, but who could be the most NHL ready. And when you look at what Veneers has accomplished, what Luke Hughes has accomplished, what Dylan Gunther has accomplished, they all make really strong cases. And it's just simple. Do you go with the two-way center? Do you go with a defenseman? Or do you go with a winger that people think could be the best scorer in the draft?
I'm daring to dream when you bring up Jack Eichel. Eichel, for the number two pick, and Seattle's going to throw something else in. You got the expansion draft slots to play with as well. I mean, I think it's, like I said, I think it's going to be fun because this isn't a normal draft, because the expansion draft, Seattle holds some other cards that most teams holding number two never hold. You hold some other cards with that expansion draft and what teams want to do. So it's going to be, hey, July will be fun, my friend. Get some rest, because July is going to be fun. It's going to be crazy.
Fun is a way of putting it. Yes, I've just said to everyone, when July 1st hits, I'm a ghost. Like, I don't care what's going on with you. I mean, I'm a ghost. Like, so, sorry, good luck.
I will say, and you said you got a coaching story coming out soon. Is that right, from The Athletic?
Yeah, just kind of taking a look at, like, what is going on with the landscape right now, because one of the things that Kraken wanted to do is they wanted to wait. Well, now that they've waited, what does this look like, especially now knowing Rod Brind'Amour might be off the board?
My friend, thank you so much. We'll talk to you in a week's time.
You got it, Ian. Thanks again.
Ryan S. Clark from The Athletic. Again, big thanks to our good friends at Cascade Ice. Cascade Ice Water. Caffeinated, not caffeinated at all. Sugar-free, gluten-free, calorie-free there in your local grocery store. Great tasting. Need a little caffeine jolt. How about the organic caffeine? Or if you need to kind of get off the caffeine kick, Kevin, then you can go uncaffeinated
as
well.
I'm back on the wagon.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I've had like three in the last week.
Wow. Things are tough for you? What?
They're delicious.
We'll come back in a second. We'll check the text, 49451, Coors Seltzer text line, 49451, world's most refreshing seltzer, 49451. Thoughts, questions, concerns, fire away. We have a Twitter poll up as well. As a fan of college athletics, what is your biggest concern or worry about the future of college football or college hoops? Is it the NIL, the name, image, and likeness laws, or the transfer portal and what it's doing to your school, your favorite team? 49451, you can text in. We'll check those Twitter polls as well coming up next.
Now back to Ian Furness on Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
We'll check text in a second, 49451. That is a Coors Seltzer text line, the world's most refreshing seltzer. Coming up in just a moment. Before I get there, two things I want to hit on. One, tomorrow, or as Kevin would say, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
It's an EQC Note Thursday. What does that mean?
I love EQC Note Thursday.
Last week, we gave away $1,200 during the course of the day on the radio station, and it was $100 every hour because we were 12 for 12. All 12 people that registered to win listened when they were supposed to and called in within 5 minutes and won $100. We give away $100 every hour starting at 7 a.m. on the radio station, courtesy of the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest. And I'm going to have to check with my guy at 245. When are we going to be able to do a show from the EQC's new sports bar? I drove by there last Sunday. I think we're kind of pretty much open, aren't we? Like,
oh,
we're
yeah.
open.
It's open.
Well, I mean, like, the state open. Like, when can we go in there without restrictions and just go in and get after it, do a show from the new sports bar down the EQC?
Well, you know,
who's in charge of the EQC here? Is it Softy?
I think it's Softy, yeah.
Okay, we'll talk to him at 2:45 because I want to get down there.
You know, the place
I need
where
an excuse to go in there without, you know, telling the wife I'm just going to go down.
Oh, yeah, for work.
Yeah, it's for work.
Sorry, it's work.
It's for work, yeah.
All of a sudden you come home and you're like, honey, I'm sorry, we have to sell the house.
Yeah, that's some issues. Or we come home and go, hey, guess what?
We're buying a new house.
Buying a new house. So that's tomorrow starting at 6 a.m. Listen with Chuck and Bucky, and they will read off a name. Starting at 7, they'll give that person or you'll register in the 6 o'clock hour. 7 o'clock, they'll start reading off names. Every hour, $1,200 to give away during the course of the day. Before I get to text, the other note I want to mention, the Blazers and Root Sports have announced a brand new TV partnership starting next season. Root Sports is going to now be the home of the Portland Trail Blazers. The Blazers leaving NBC Sports Northwest, which would pretty much tell you that NBC Sports Northwest is going away, which is unfortunate for the folks that are still working there.
Yeah.
And when I say folks still working there, that list is really short. It's Dwight James and Joe Fan, and I think that's about it. I mean, it's really been a scaled-down version of what used to be a really solid and promising regional sports network down there in Portland, and I had the pleasure of working there right when they first started. We did some really good television, I think, back then, and some fun pre- and post-game shows. But they had decided in the last few years to scale that way, way back. And it's unfortunate because Blazer fans paid the price. You know, people here, like, we love to complain about TV coverage and pre- and post and announcers and all that kind of stuff. Well, listen, you watch a Mariner game and you get a half-hour pregame and a half-hour plus postgame. There's a lot of places you don't get that. The nation's capital is going through a huge issue that right now with Washington and Baltimore, the Nationals and the Orioles. The Blazer coverage was atrocious the last few years. Root Sports will do a nice job with the Blazers. That would also, I'm curious how it's going to work, because obviously the Kraken are now part of that group, mm-hmm. as well as the Mariners and some other entities.
And the Seawolves, Ian.
Whatever. But do we see a Root Sports 2 making its way to Channel 617 on the which is formerly home by NBC Sports Northwest? The reason the Kraken are on Root Sports is for the regional reach.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting, because you can split it. When I lived in Portland, I was telling Puckett this earlier, when I lived in Portland and slash Vancouver, we had the Blazers down there, not the Sonics, and they were both on Root Sports. So we couldn't watch a Sonic game.
FSN back then, right?
It was FSN, yeah. It was FSN Northwest, whatever it was. Yes. But it'd be interesting to see how they make it work. But thoughts, and hopefully those guys find something, because I assume that Joe and Dwight and those guys are... It's tough for them, man. It's a tough world that we're living in right now in the broadcast world. But, yeah, good for Root Sports, though. They get the Blazers, and that's good for Blazer fans, too. You guys will do a nice job. Be interesting to see what changes they may or may not make on their broadcast as well. Okay, let's get to text for
you. Ian, you kind of faded out there a little bit. Everything okay?
What's Calabro up to these days?
I know he's on the air every Friday during the playoffs with our friend Jason Puckett, and he's sponsoring the Jason Puckett Slickhawk Studio Studio.
I heard that. You are correct, sir. 49451 Coors Seltzer text line. What do we got?
You know, I will not stand for this, sir.
Okay.
Benjamin. 206.
Benjamin.
Is it possible for Joel Embiid to score without either pushing off or traveling?
No.
How effing dare you? The way that he fades away right now and has a little bit of that Dirk Nowitzki step back fadeaway jumper. How dare you?
Kevin, look, I'm gonna read one real quick, and then look at the one down there that's really long.
I see it.
And tell me if it's readable or not. Let me read this one first, though. Ian, you just said that Seattle has expansion draft slots available. Can you explain what you meant, please? What I meant by that is, you know, the amount of trades in the NHL in the first round was 11 since 2008. First-round draft picks have been traded on draft day. There have been draft picks traded prior, JT Miller, Tampa, and the Canucks, etc. But for the most part, you don't see like a flurry of activity with guys trading up and trading down in the NHL's first round like you do, say, in the NFL or the NBA.
Right.
What I said was it's a different deal because Seattle has an expansion draft 2 days prior to that.
And they could kind of have them both be intertwined in trades, you think?
You could package, you know, hey, number two pick for this play. You could do a lot more than if you don't have an expansion draft where you're taking a player from every team. Because assuming that those 30 teams that you're taking players from, Vegas is exempt, let's say at least 15 or 20 of them are hoping not to lose a player.
Right.
You know, they're going to expose guys for salary cap reasons otherwise, but they're going to expose guys that they don't want to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's plenty of room to get creative for Ron Francis. It's not a normal NHL draft 2 days later with that number two pick because of the expansion draft, if that makes sense.
Right. Okay.
Can I read the long one?
Yeah. Do you want to hear some Mark Few attacks?
Yes.
Sure.
Mark Few has been, this is from the 206 area code, Mark Few has benefited throughout his career from the competitive advantage of being at a Catholic school who, unlike public schools, recruit at the high school level and funnel kids internationally to Gonzaga, quite often under the advice of clergy who also happen to speak for God in their world. He is the last person I want to hear cry about competitive disadvantages. Also recruited two of his best point guards off the Huskies' active rosters long before any transfer portals. He is the ultimate weasel. I don't even know where to begin with that.
I don't know. That just sounds like an angry Husky fan, to be honest.
Angry Husky fan. They recruit internationally, as does any decent program in college sports, not just basketball these days, first of all. The part about the clergy speaking for God and recruiting is, that's a new one on me. And I went to a Catholic school, not that I was a recruitable athlete, but that's a new one. If you think that this state and other states won't be a competitive disadvantage to the other five states that do have NIL, you're just absolutely nuts.
An interesting little thing came out from Oregon State, by the way.
Say?
Maybe get to it.
Go ahead.
They're getting involved in the exposure game, trying to get ahead of the NIL stuff.
Okay.
I think maybe it just came out a few minutes ago. I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing. Okay. But they're trying to step. Remember what I said earlier about I wonder if a school would get involved in trying to kind of almost be like a help to get them, whatever, endorsements or marketing deals? Seems like Oregon State might be going in that direction, which is interesting.
206. So Mark Few is saying what Jeff Spicoli was telling us years ago in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. So if we don't get some cool rules ourselves, pronto will just be bogus too. Exactly. That's exact. And I think that's kind of what he was doing. He was funneling his inner Jeff Spicoli.
Okay.
So good.
Sure. Let's see. Is it... I'll bet people in Alabama can name 10 people on the Alabama football team. I can name 10 Huskies. But is one of those...
Does that mean they're marketable?
Is one of those 10 Huskies going to change your mind on a product to buy?
Okay, very quick.
I don't know.
Very quick. Who would have been, over the last calendar year, the most marketable Husky athlete in your mind?
Of all Huskies?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you one, but just...
Boy, I... Oh man, I don't know, Savon Ahmed?
Not even close.
Who?
Sis Bates.
Oh, I thought we were talking Husky football.
No, just marketable Husky
in general.
Athlete.
Okay, yeah. I'll give you that.
Sis Bates.
She's won a lot of awards.
Maybe Gabby Plain. I don't know. Right? Over the last year.
Danielle Laurie wasn't here in the last year, Softy.
Yeah. Over the last calendar year. I can't hear you, you're not turning up. Over the
last calendar year. So you're gonna make us late anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
All right. Is that enough?
It's plenty. We're going to talk to a guy that's distracting me next.
See ya.
Now back to Ian Furness on Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Got to admit, I miss the Star Wars music. Can we switch back? What's our thoughts? This is Star Wars.
Mandalorian.
Yeah, I miss you.
You watched Loki this morning, by the way, on Disney?
No, not yet.
That was awesome.
What?
Oh, God.
I'm looking forward to it. I will be.
What?
Loki.
Loki?
You're not a Marvel fan? Thor's lunatic brother.
So it debuted this morning?
Yeah.
Was it this morning? Was it
I think it was last night. I think it was last night. It was probably midnight last night. I mean, I'm a Marvel fan, but I'm not a Marvel maniac like Jackson. I'm not
I'm
waiting
forward
until
to it.
I'll midnight.
I'll have to check with the kid on what this is all
hey,
about.
Hey, why are you up? I'm watching Loki. Mandalorian for sure. The Book of Boba, when that comes out, yeah, I'll stay up until midnight for that.
Okay.
Totally.
Okay.
So it's pretty good. Not bad.
Pretty good.
Not too shabby.
Pretty good.
Big fan of live action, which is basically not cartoons.
Oh.
I'm talking about animation.
What is that a shot at?
That's me.
Oh, I'm not a big fan of cartoons.
I like Invincible.
Like what?
Good series.
Anything. People talk about Star Wars Rebels, for example.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm not a fan of animation.
I thought you were taking a shot at me like an Invincible, which is an animation
thing, not at all, turned on to by
the kids. So I like it. It's good.
Do you realize that Ian Furness, because of his son,
who?
Might be the most... Ian Furness? What did I say?
That's me. I'm over here.
I'm just glad that you mentioned his last name. I'd have no idea who the hell you're talking about.
No, but I'm saying this because I think this is... I think Ian Furness might be the most, like, up-to-date... To use one of Softy's words, dope individuals at the radio station.
He's got kids.
Because he actually knows so many things that so many of our guys do not know.
Right. Well,
it's amazing.
I don't know him until I ask or I'm told that I'm dumb and then he explains to me. But yeah.
But you do.
Help. It does help sometimes.
I'm curious to get your take on something, by the way.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Did you have something important to bring up?
No, I was just going to say, I'm not sure what I'm going to do next year when he's gone. I mean, I'll be like, back.
You'll have to go to a park and find a kid.
Well, that's
hey, kid, come over here.
Hey, where's Ian been? I don't know. He's talking to
kids. What are kids watching these days? What's that grown man doing? Get away from my kid.
Who's that guy with the beard out there talking to my child? Yeah, I'll just turn into just any old man, normal man.
So I saw Puckett's tweet from today.
Yes, what was that?
I asked him to come on the show and he said no, mostly because he's just busy. He's hanging out with his kids, going to a baseball game. He's got bigger fish to fry than to come on here and talk to me. So I get that. So, and I'm just paraphrasing, and I know you guys talked about this in Crosstalk today because I heard a little bit of it today.
Yes. This is a show about nothing.
Well, Larry Scott claiming it wasn't his fault. He's blaming Washington, USC, all the schools for sucking, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that exactly part of the reason why he was fired?
Because it's a small, as a small reason. I think it's a
Wow, I would disagree with you 1,000,000%
so you
on that.
Was he recruiting? Did I miss that part of it?
Well, no, but Ian, Larry Scott was fired because the marketing was poor, the TV deal was poor, the promotion of the conference was poor, all those things. The perception of the conference is awful. All of that comes back to the teams and puts them in a bad situation.
Those were all, but I
mean, that's exactly, dude, let me ask you a question. Okay. If those teams were winning and they were going to multiple Final Fours, you don't think Larry Scott wouldn't take credit for that?
I think Larry Scott's biggest shortcoming, well, his biggest shortcoming was all the things you said, but I don't think USC not being good in football was a direct result of the poor television contract as much as they've made poor coaching decisions.
Well,
they're above what a bad television deal is all about. So would be Arizona basketball and UCLA basketball in a good time for those two programs. I don't think that's Larry Scott's fault.
Why was Larry Scott fired? Why was Larry Scott fired then?
Because of the television deal as much as anything.
Just the TV deal? That's it?
TV deal?
Not the fact that those teams stink and the perception of the conference is in the toilet? What are we talking about?
He was fired because the television distribution's horrible. The revenue streams are awful.
Right.
Those are the top two reasons he was let go.
Right. And you don't think that teams need those things to win games?
Of course they do. Washington State and Oregon State do. I don't think that USC does.
Why are they so important? They're important because they give teams a better chance to win. When they're promoted, when they're marketed, when people see their product, they have a better chance to recruit. They have a better chance to attract top talent. Those teams and programs, you know it as well as me, Ian. Come on.
They did not get what they needed from Larry Scott. That's why he was fired. I agree with you on all those things except for this. USC, and by and large, let's just use USC football because that was kind of the argument about USC football. And then it trickled down with Oregon and Washington. USC football isn't on the Pac-12 network at 7:30 at night. They're still getting primetime network games because they're USC. The fact they're not good is four athletic directors and Clay Helton. That's the reason they're not good, because of Larry Scott.
I don't know, man. I'm just going to disagree with you because all those schools need help. Everyone needs help. I mean, if a conference commissioner does not have a direct or indirect impact on a team's chances of success, then what the hell is the guy doing there in the first place? That's exactly why other guys were fired and let go, because they could not get those teams to where they had to be. Now, look, I'm not saying it's all his fault.
Sure.
I totally agree with you on that. There's a lot of other players involved here. You know, people make bad decisions. I mean, Larry Scott did not go tell Sean Miller to offer money to DeAndre Ayton or whoever the hell it was down there that got him busted in Tucson. Yeah. Players like that. So everyone played a role. But when the perception of the conference is as bad as it is, and when the top dogs in the conference are all struggling together at the same time, you absolutely have to look at conference leadership.
On the list of failures for Larry Scott, I would put USC football in the torchbearers for Pac-12 basketball, UCLA and Arizona in this case. I would put that farther down the list than probably you would.
I think
you and I disagree there. I would just put it further down the list. I think USC's problems go far beyond Larry Scott, and honestly, USC is just, they have always been above that. They're not getting buried on Pac-12 After Dark on the Pac-12 network where nobody in the country can see
them. Well, we'll talk to Petros about that at 4:05. Ask him how much Larry Scott was directly responsible for those teams not succeeding, because I think it's a major reason why. If those teams were succeeding, I think Larry Scott is still the commissioner of the Pac-12.
Do you think Oregon's hampered by Larry Scott?
I think everybody was hampered by Larry Scott. Everybody.
All right.
Everybody. On some level, whether big, small, indifferent, everybody was hampered by Larry Scott.
I'll give you
small.
That's
why he was fired.
I'll give you small. I won't give you big.
Okay, thank you. At least, you know what? Fine. It's about time you give me a crumb.
I'll take your crumbs.
All right. Well, Mike Florio is going to join us on the show. Petros on the show. Joe Fan on the show. And Anthony Beirutti, the venue king, is going to return to the program.
Whoa.
And he's bearing gifts, by the way,
in the
6 p.m. hour. We'll chat about that coming up in a few minutes.
Hey, if I agree with you, can I get a gift?
No, you're done.
Well, you're still wrong. Larry Scott's not to blame.
You got to quit your job if you want a
he's
gift.
Not to blame.
It might be worth it, by the way.
For the mild-mannered and marginally objectionable Ian Furness, this is Panel Day saying so long, everyone.